that He gave His life and saved me. Amen. And if your Bible's tonight, turn to John chapter 12. And if you didn't bring them tonight, just listen. I am going to try not to have a Bible study tonight, but I'd really like to share something with you. I think it'll be a blessing to you. We have, on purpose, we preached a message a couple weeks ago on the Tower of the Flock, and just something a little different in regards to the Christmas story. I had thought about preaching last Sunday on the star that the wise men saw, and we'll do that next year. But I do want to bring that up tonight and use that by way of an illustration. So I hope that it'll be maybe a little something. I just like for the Christmas story to be fresh. And I don't mean we have to find something new every Christmas time, but because it ought to always be fresh to a Christian. Amen. And Christ was born. But John chapter 12, verse 46. John chapter 12, verse 46. Familiar passage to most of us. And the Bible says, "I am come a light into the world." This is Jesus speaking now. And Jesus says, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Should not abide in darkness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity to meet together tonight. We pray that you bless the message. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." As we think about that statement that the Apostle John made, that God is light, he's not saying that God is light and that he is the sun. It's not what he's saying. Is that he's saying that God reveals himself as light and that he is the opposite of darkness. If you read the context, he is making that illustration. He's making that determination that God is light. He is as far away from darkness as you can get. God is pure. God is holy. And God is just. God manifests himself as light. And we see this over and over again. Now make sure you understand what I'm saying. God manifests himself as light. God shows forth himself as light throughout the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And we see this from the very beginning, there in creation. When God said, "Let there be light," there on the first day, that light was not the sun. S-U-N. That S-U-N was created on the fourth day. The light of the first day, I believe, and we won't take the time tonight to trace it all the way through. We've taught it before to our church congregation. And that is that light on the first day of creation was the glory of God. That light on the first day of creation was God manifesting himself as light. And I believe the Bible teaches in John 1 by way of Jesus Christ. And please don't, if you don't get some of this, just hang with me, all right? John recognized that Jesus would become and would be light. I don't want to skip ahead, but God manifests himself as light. We see this in creation. We see this on top of Mount Sinai, the burning bush. Remember the bush that talked? God spoke out of the burning bush, and that bush was a light. The bush was on fire. The Bible says that the tabernacle, when the tabernacle was completed, that light, that fire by day, or that fire by night and the cloud by day that led the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. Everyone with me? That light, that cloud, that when the tabernacle was finished, that light, that cloud came down and rested upon and then in the tabernacle. We also know that, again, that the children of Israel, I want to repeat myself, that they were led by a fire by night and a cloud by day in the wilderness for 40 years. God manifests himself as a light by day and a cloud, a light by night and a cloud by day. Everyone with me? A cloud, a light, and a light. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, when the temple was completed, and they dedicated the temple, the Bible says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house, and the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord." So when they finished that great temple there in Jerusalem, They could not enter the temple because of the glory of God, the light. If you go back and you can read these on your own, 1 Samuel 4:4, 2 Samuel 6:2, 2 Kings 19:15, it all speaks about that the Lord dwelt between the cherubs. So inside the temple, inside the tabernacle, and then inside the temple, the glory of God, that light, the Shekinah glory, God manifesting Himself inside the temple in the Holy of Holies on top of the Ark of the Covenant. If you were to walk inside the Holy of Holies in the temple, which you weren't allowed to do unless you were the high priest, right? But if you could have walked in there, you would have seen the Shekinah glory. You would have seen the light dwelling on top of the Ark of the Covenant, there on the mercy seat between the two cherubs whose wings faced each other. And you would have seen the glory of God manifested as a light. We know by way of Ezekiel that when the children of Israel began to turn their back on God, and God was about to send the Assyrian army to capture and to take the northern kingdom into captivity, and then finally the southern kingdom into captivity by the Babylonians, that the glory of God left the temple. And he watched it, the prophet watched the glory of God come out of the temple, watched it set on the wall of the city of Jerusalem, watched it move out into the wilderness, and then watched it as it left. The glory of the Lord, he said, has departed because of Israel's sin, because of their idol worship, because of their iniquities. The glory of the Lord departed. But guess what? It returned. About 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was born. John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Listen to that now. "In Him was life," talking about Jesus, "and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Verse 6, John chapter 1 says, "There was a man sent from God, whose name was John." This is speaking of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light," and light is capitalized there, capital L-I-G-H-T. Speaking of whom? Jesus Christ. Stay with me. "That all men through Him might believe." All men through Jesus might believe. "He was not that light." Speaking of John the Baptist. John the Baptist says, "I am not the light." Amen. "He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Those who did believe in the light, and those who did believe in Jesus Christ, and those who do believe in Him now, become the sons of God, become children of God. "Which were born, not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word," capital W-O-R-D, verse 14, "and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John the Baptist made it very clear. I'm not the light. I was simply sent to bear witness of the light, that all men through Him, through Jesus, might believe. And all men who believe become the sons of God, become children of the heavenly King. The light that had departed from Israel had returned. Think about it for a moment. In Matthew chapter 2, we have the story of the wise men who came in search of baby, the baby Jesus, the King who would be born. And they asked a few questions, and they said this in verse 2 of Matthew chapter 2. They said, saying, "Where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east, and are come to worship Him." And these magi, these wise men who came from the east, who came from that area, maybe as far away as China or wherever they came from, came all the way to find the one who would be born King of the Jews. They followed what? They followed a star. Now, if you go back and you find what star means, it doesn't necessarily mean a heavenly body in the heavens like we would think of. It means a point of light. By the way, if they were just simply following a star in the heavens, they may be able to follow it for a while, but at some point, it's going to become a general location and not a particular location. I can't follow any star way up in the celestials and come to any particular point. I can come to a general point, but something's got to change for me to come to a particular spot. So kind of get out of your mind that this was some star way up in the, you know, celestial. I'm talking about up there in the heavenly bodies in the universe there. This was a different kind of star. Woo-hoo. Where is this born? We have seen his star and have come to worship him. And then you go on to read. I don't have time, but just look at verse 9. It says, and when he had heard the king, they departed. And lo, listen to this. Verse 9, Matthew chapter 2. It says, when they left the king, it says, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. Sounds like to me the star's moving. Everybody good? Everybody all right? It says the star went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And by the way, when they saw the star move, they rejoiced gladly, the Bible says. Greatly, exceedingly great joy. The star was no ordinary star. This is the star from Genesis. This is the star in the temple. This is the star on Mount Sinai. This is the light that led the children of Israel in the wilderness. This is the glory of God. Manifest by way of a light. The light that had departed had returned. And that light, according to John the Baptist, is Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, Jesus testified himself, as I read the very first verse we read. He said, I come a light into the world. That's Jesus' words. And that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. The light. The light. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Well, there's so much more I could put out here for you. We see the light there on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus Christ showed his glory. The light on the road to Damascus. In fact, it says when the light shone there on Saul on the road to Damascus that it shone as bright as the sun. Think about it. The light had returned. The light had returned. I am the light of the world. As long as I'm in the world, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the light. I hope tonight you know Jesus as your Savior. He says, all that believe in Him will have the light of life. I hope that you have life. You have life tonight. Jesus Christ came to give us life and to give us it more abundantly. I pray that there's a time in your life when you can look back and say, yes, at the age of 6 years old, I knelt in my pastor's office, and there I accepted Christ as my Savior. How do we do that? We do that by simply recognizing that we're sinners. Listen, I have a sinful nature. And we're going to find out early in the morning that all of our kids have a sinful nature. We're all selfish by nature. I had a good question asked to me the other day. And it really illustrates it. How do we know we have a sinful nature? One of the ways in which we know it is if you were all by yourself and there were no consequences, what decision would you make concerning anything? I'm talking about if there was no consequences. If nobody was looking over your shoulder, how different would your life be? It would be drastically different. Because we're all adults, we're selfish by nature. We really are. At our core, we're selfish. And the Bible says because we are selfish by nature, and that was passed to us by our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Adam. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Because of our sin, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. That's hell, folks. That's separation from God for all eternity. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, it doesn't have to end with the penalty of sin. It can begin again with the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I hope again there's a day in your life when you can look back and say, I called upon the name of Jesus. I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. And I believe on the third day he rose again from the dead. That's believing. That's trusting in him and him alone for salvation. Christians tonight, Christ is the light, has returned. I'm so glad of that, aren't you? Amen. And the Bible encourages us. Christ commanded us to be the light. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says, ye are the light of the world. He said, Matthew, I am the light of the world. And then he turns around to his followers and says, ye are the light of the world. By the way, we're not the greater light. We're not the S-U-N. Right? We're the lesser lights. What does he say there in Genesis chapter 1? The greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. I love this old song. It says, brightly beams our Father's mercy from the lighthouse evermore. But to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Third verse says, trim your feeble light, my brother, some poor sailor tempest-tossed, trying now to make the harbor, in the darkness may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be burning. We're supposed to be that light. We're supposed to be the moon. We're the lesser light. We are to reflect the sun, S-U-N. Are you reflecting the sun? New Year's upon us. And we need to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are not to hide. No man should hide his light under a bushel. You want me to sing the song? Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That they may see your good works and glorify God because of it. They should see Jesus in you. You should be a reflection of the light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! Wake some of you up. I'm going to let it shine. We shouldn't hide. Especially Philippians talks about it. Philippians says, hey, be the witness you ought to be. Especially in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We should shine as lights in the world. Listen, we should stand in this day. Stand. Be a light. Be a reflection of the sun. Ephesians says this way. He says, we should walk as children of the light. We should walk as children of the light. For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the world. Walk as children of the light. I'm glad I'm a child of the King. And I should walk like it. I should walk worthy of the vocation with which I've been called. I should walk as a child of the light. I should be a reflection of the Savior. The Bible speaks of letting the day star arise in our hearts. As our relationship with Jesus Christ grows, the sun will arise in our hearts. The more we spend time with the Lord, the more we read our Bible and pray every day, the more we grow and the greater our light will be. Some lights are 10 watts, some lights are 20 watts, some lights are 30 watts. Some are fluorescent lights, some are LED lights. Some are 100-watt lights. And as we grow in the Lord, our light should become stronger. And it will. And we need to be a light I just really, really think in this day and age which we live, we have got to stand and be a light. At the workplace, with our neighbors, wherever you serve, wherever you work, to be a light to those around you. And that's, by the way, that's what Jesus commanded us to do. He didn't say, hey, if you guys, want to, won't you guys be a light? No, he says, you are the light of the world. Don't hide your light. Be the light. And in the new year, let's be a light. By the way, the light has returned. The glory of the Lord departed. Hey, by the way, where did John the Baptist come out of? When that glory of the Lord departed, it departed into the mountains. It departed into the wilderness. The Bible says John the Baptist came out preaching from the wilderness. Man, and then he clarified. He said, I'm not the light. But he says the light has returned. He is the light. Jesus is the light. And then Jesus tells us, commands us to be a light. We need to be the light. A great illustration of that, we think about voting in America. Every once in a while you hear somebody say the old saying, hey, if one vote really counts. By the way, in this day and age, one vote does count. Your vote does count. But can I tell you, you may say within yourself, well, preacher, I'm just one person. What could my light do? By the way, when we speak of you being a light, we're speaking of you being a good testimony. Of you representing the Savior. Of you being a good ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of you walking worthy of the vocation. In other words, you being a witness to those around you. Sharing the light. Right? Being a good example of the light, but also sharing that light. You say, well, what can I do? What can one person do? I don't know about you, but whoever, and I've read the story, the person who tracked down D.L. Moody and led a young man to the Lord who was a shoe salesman, led D.L. Moody to the Lord, and D.L. Moody ended up being one of the greatest evangelists who's ever lived. You don't know who you're going to influence. You don't know if you're going to influence the next Billy Sunday or influence the next J. Frank Norris or whomever. I'll even bring Billy Graham's name up in here. You don't know who you're going to influence. Your one light does matter. Your one light can influence so many others. It's amazing how bright one light is. Isn't it? Right? Candlelight service. Why don't we have a candlelight service? Again, to remind ourselves the impact that we can have as a light. Not only in our community, but around the world. Jesus commanded us to be a light. Your one light really, really, really does count. All right, let's turn the lights off and see what happens, right? I love this. This is awesome. We're going to light it on this side, and then we're going to work our way across there. Somebody's going to go turn the globes off. Jesus said, then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John 9:5. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. John 12. And you just keep on going. It's hard to get all the lights off in this place. Remember when you just had that little room next door? You like turn off one switch and you were done.